on one up top. Bug on one up top. All the other formations, they surely have to stop. Bug on one up top. Bug on one up top. Jamie and Jordan, the bullshit never stops.
You're listening to the One Up Top podcast, hosted by Jamie and Jordan. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast and all of our social media outlets at One Up Top Podcast.
And a very big welcome back to this week's episode of One Up Top. And Bows are currently sitting third in the league. Hopefully by the time this is out, we'll be second ahead of the Scum. Good win on Friday and a great podcast last week. Kevin Hunt, Bows legend on. But this week, I'm not joined. I wouldn't say Bows legend now, you didn't do enough time. But a man's beside me here, Bows fan, Bows, ex-Bows player, MK Dons player, Warren O'Hara, how are you getting on?
I'm good, Jordan, yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, just saying to you earlier, the last time I seen you, we were in the Berkeley pub, you finished your shift in Croke Park on All-Ireland final day.
Yeah, I don't even know how I got into that, actually. I think that was actually true, Bows, how I got into it, but yeah, I haven't been that Berkeley in years, I have to say. And
since we're all sitting around the table, I think it was me, you, Ro, talking about how you're going to make Bows millions going to Man City for 50 yeah, million a couple of years later.
Not yet.
The transfer fee is gone, so that's no use to fucking us.
The window opens in 2 weeks, I think. I have a missed call, I think, somewhere.
But thanks for coming on, Warren, and I know you're back for a few days, and back into training now in a couple of weeks' time, but I suppose you're a Bows fan and you were there. You watched it anyway on Friday. What did you make of the game against?
Yeah, I watched it Friday, and it was back 3 weeks ago as well. I watched the Derry game as well, but yeah, like I said, I think we had 10 men after 10 minutes, of even short, and that and Grado scored. But look, forget about that game. But yeah, I watched Friday against Sligo there, 2-0 win. I wasn't there, I was watching the gaff because I was with my ma. Trying to spend some time at home before I go. I just think like the intensity that they've been playing at has like been through the roof really the last few games, and that's what I don't know the manager personally, but from what I've heard, like, is that like he's bang on now in terms of intensity and pressing up the pitch, and I think that's probably the best way to go in that in the League of Ireland, because like, you really just kind of ask questions of a team in the league, like, see how good they are, can they play out, you know. And so, I'll just suspect it's probably some of the teams, but they probably can't deal with the pressure, with the high press. So, no, it was a good performance. And the first half, Sligo didn't have anything to do. They were cruising, and I think they had a 10-minute spell in the second half. And then after that, the Bows just blitzed them. And I like that right back, Jay Benn. I think he's decent.
He's going back to Lincoln.
Yeah.
I think he's back, actually. But the thing to say, he's actually going back to Lincoln. His last game was against Cork. I think he's flying out to the Algarve for a game of golf before he has to go back to pre-season with Lincoln. But yeah, I suppose you're always looking at the defender's point of view, and no, as you said, it was a good win. They're probably the best balls I've played this season in terms of getting the ball down and passing. What have you made of the two Polish lads playing centre-half?
Yeah, look, like I said, I haven't seen much of them, I'm going to be honest. You know, it's hard to watch the games over in England, sorry. But no, they seem solid enough, and they seem pretty comfortable on the ball, and I was actually watching the game, like you said, and Dan O'Bourne's commentating on it. It's interesting, like, listening. I used to play with Dan and he's talking like and commentating on it, so it was interesting to see on his point of view. He obviously played in the league a lot more than me, and now they looked pretty comfortable. The two big lads as well, not afraid to head the ball and tackle, and I can't remember your man's name. He should have had one or two goals from corners.
Malbec,
yeah, he should have had one or two, and I actually want him to score him because I think he's been doing well from what I watched in the last two games. So no, they're not bad, I have to say. And look, that's the type of league it is, you know. You need to be physical in that league, and like I said, I've only played about 10 or 11 games, you know, when I was a lot younger than I am now, and that's one thing I had to learn straight away, was this is a physical league, and you've got to get kicked, you've got to get bumped into, and the lads are definitely up for it, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think goal came from James Clark, and Chris Twardock is a bit of a revival these days. I don't think there's many of them that were there now that when you were there. I think Bucco's probably the last stand, is he?
Yeah, we had Bucco was obviously there, and Paddy Kirk, actually. I played with Paddy on the 19s. I think he might have played a 14 game. I'm not sure. No, he wouldn't have actually. He would have been on the 19s, but Bucco's probably the only one there, and then obviously Detza, he was obviously the assistant. He's obviously still there, and he was the captain when I was there, and probably the best captain I've had, one of them at least. And but yeah, it's been a big change since I've been there, I'm not going to lie, and I think that's probably the only two playing players that I can say I've played with, I really know what Bows.
Yeah, there's a couple probably familiar faces there. I think you played Grant last season against Shelton, I'm not sure what his situation is, but I suppose it'd probably be interesting now seeing him go back and play against you.
Yeah, well, he won't be playing against us. We went down, didn't we? Thanks for bringing that up.
Should we might touch on that later. I'm
gonna forget about it. Nah, look, it is where it is. And like you said, Grant Horton, I didn't play against him. I got injured. I'm sure we'll get on to that this season. We played a cup game in our place, in our stadium, in MK. And I think he played right of a three, actually. I think he played, and then he went back to a back four, and he played right back. But yeah, he seems to have a good bit of quality, you know. Physically, he's all right. You know, he's not the smallest, he's not the biggest either, but he's definitely quick. He has a ton of pace, which is, it's kind of, when you're looking at a defender, you're like, well, kind of like, I'd rather have a little bit of pace than maybe a little more of a strength height, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, look, he's a bit versatile. I think he play right centre back. He can play right back. I'm sure he'll do a job at left back.
A bit like a Dan on board.
Yeah, basically, yeah, play anywhere. But now he has a nice diag as well. He hit a few of them against us last season. But yeah, look, he's been doing well. And obviously, like, the one game we go to watch, he gets sent off. Of course, it would be. But, look, not to worry.
Look, hopefully now he stays on. But could well be on his way back to Cheltenham. So hopefully there's a few summer reinforcements, and you know, the Voinas are team playing, and Bo's in a completely different position now than they were when you left him off in 2017-18.
It's a completely different club, really, now. And it's obviously for the better, which is lovely to see. You know, it hasn't gone the other way, you know. Like, the atmosphere down there, when I was down there a couple of weeks ago, it was mad. Like, you know, I couldn't believe it. When I was a young fan, like, the fans have always been great. When I was a fan going, it's always been great, but it's just something different this season. Like, the atmosphere down there is mad, and it's just, as a player walking on, I can only imagine how good it must be to have like a 12th man behind you, like, especially at Daly Mount. Like, it's absolute carnage down there when I went down there. It's unbelievable. You wouldn't have it any other way, though.
There's an element of madness. We always say Bowes just attracts, you know, with plenty of the fans, it just seems to attract the fucking, the madness and the fucking lunatics.
Like yourself,
although I've calmed down in my old age. It just seems that it always attracted the fucking, the headbangers, like, from townies. Yeah. All the fucking camera heads, Blanche Swords, and all the fucking, the little lads just seem to get sucked into it.
Fuck, the people in it as well. Like, I met some of the best people I'll ever meet, like, just from playing football, but just from playing for Bowls as well. Like, you know what I mean? I'm sure we'll touch on some players I've played with and people I've met along the way during the podcast, but, like, just that place. I have a girlfriend now, since she's from England, and I'd watch the games at home as much as I can, like, and she doesn't understand, like, that I'd probably watch a League of Ireland game more than maybe a Premier League game the odd time. She'd be like, why, like, obviously you want to play at the highest level, like, would you not want to play in the Premier League, would you not want to watch that? And she doesn't understand, like, that this is the club I grew up with.
Like,
I walked 5 minutes up the road and went me gaff, like, you know, I'm obviously a Cabra boy, and to walk down the fish pit and just watch a game, I would have killed for that. I'd kill for that now, like, you know. Yeah. But she doesn't understand that. I don't think most people would, unless you do. Unless you're really, like, a Bowes fan, you won't really understand it until you go there and you feel the love from the fans and the atmosphere there. It's just amazing, that place.
Yeah, we do go back to the start with all the guests and how you did get into Bowes. You touched that as a child. Obviously, Cabra being a big factor, but I suppose, how did you actually get your first game? Do you remember?
Jeez, I can't even remember who it was. Owen Heary was the captain at the time. I can remember. I was only a young fella. I think I went with one of my good mates, Gil O'Brien. I went with him, and I think he had his cousin Robert. I think we went with him, and Jesus Christ, I couldn't tell you, that was a long time ago. But that was the first game. That's when I probably started getting properly into football, you know. Like, I can only credit my family to bring me train. But when you go and actually watch a game, I think that would have been my first game, first football game to go and watch as a young fella. That would have been it. And then you kind of just get this feeling, like, you'd love to play. Like, you know, you're sitting in the stands watching, you'd say, jeez, I'd love to play. So obviously, a young lad, my dream is to be a footballer, and I was lucky enough to nearly get it, and I'm still doing it now, you know. But to play at Daly Mount, I remember going there and thinking, jeez, it'd be lovely to play, like, in Daly Mount, you know, in front of the fans, and so, especially being down the road with me. But that was my first game, yeah, so you would have had my own here, he's captain, you know, and that was in good times as well, like, you know, that was a good boss. Yeah. It was a good boss.
The good
team
before the bad.
Obviously a little blip, but yeah, that was my first game. I can't remember much of it, I have to say, but I remember just walking down and seeing all the fans going down that little lane and being like, this is like a proper
It just catches you from the get-go, doesn't it?
Especially as a young, I would have been only about 11, 12, like, probably younger, like, you know, it's just mad, like, when I think back to it, and then, well, I don't even know, I'm only 24, and I would have been about 12 years ago, it's mad, yeah. I'm still going now, and I still get the flashbacks of walking down that lane with your mates, and then, like, Jesus Christ, this is unbelievable.
Yeah, it's a familiar old feeling, isn't it, walking back down it?
Yeah.
It's just one of those fucking things.
It is one of them places, I have to say.
And then, of course, you moved on, and you actually managed to... Who did you play for before you signed? You were Belvedere, were you?
No, I originally started out in Cabra, playing football in Dingle. Dingle up the Bogies there, that was literally the very, very start for me. That was when I was literally, whatever, on the 9s, 10s, or whatever. I'd be first team, and then... Played there for ages, and I moved club out to Ashbourne. Played in Ashbourne for about 4 years. I was still in the NDSL, I was in the NDSL team. I was just happy, I was just enjoying my football. To be honest with you, I was not thinking
there was no trials to England or football.
I never had one, and I had all the DDSL lads in school, and that they'd be going everywhere.
The Wolves and West Brom every week.
Chelsea, West Brom, and you'd be sitting there thinking, Jesus Christ, this isn't gonna work,
Yeah. We are probably at the same time.
Yeah.
It's not happening, so you're just enjoying it.
That was it. I was just playing football, and me and my best mate David, he was out in Ashbourne with me. We go from Cabra to Ashbourne every, Tuesday, Thursday, but I'd be training the NDSL team as well. So I was training 5-6 days a week when I was about 15, 14, even 13, younger maybe. I was at Ashbourne for a few, and then kind of left Ashbourne and went to Kevin's for about, I was about 16, 15, I'd say. I went to Kevin's for about 6 months.
Who's your coach there?
Colin, I can't remember his second name. Then the under-17s, League of Ireland came in. Obviously, Bowles had a team in it. And I was right, what's going to happen now? And there was a bit of rigmarole at the time. They didn't want the DDSL to, they didn't want the under-17s, League of Ireland to start. They wanted to keep it as a 19s and first team league. Yeah. They didn't want to drop it down to the 17s. But he did, anyways, and I signed my boss, Keith Long, met me, and he was like, "Yeah, we'd like you to come." Jimmy Miles, the manager at the time, who was the manager at NDSL at the time, so he knew me very well and took me in straight away, and I just felt the best thing ever, putting on a boss kit, proper boss kit. Already under 17, 16, 17 time, but I was thinking, "Jesus Christ, this is amazing!" Like, I think I was captain as well the first year, and. Yeah, got moved up pretty quick down to the 19s when I was only 17s there, so I was playing a year or two ahead of me, and obviously it takes a little time to develop into it, but Secco was the manager at the time there, I think, and just never really felt out of place, if I'm honest, and I think Keith and Trevor were still there, Longers and Trevor Crowley, and they quickly saw that I was developing quicker than most lads, I think, and I think I remember Trevor saying to me, you look like a man compared to the under 19s team playing, and he said, we want to come up and try with the first team.
What age at this stage?
I was still about 16. Still, it was only probably touching 17. Mm. It all happened so quickly. I literally jumped 3 age groups, and I was in, before I knew it, I was in Richmond, Mark and Craig, Christy Fagan, before I knew it.
Yeah.
But that was it, trying with the first team and playing to a T for ages, and kind of got a bit frustrated, I'm not going to lie, I was travelling with the team, I was on the bench loads of times, missing out on squads.
So sent the half doesn't go far.
Literally, it's tough, and I was only 16, it was naive.
Expected to be. Where am I playing?
I just wanted to play. I'm a Bowers fan, I want to play, I want to help the club as much as possible. And I was playing for free, I wasn't even on a pro contract, nothing like that. This was just me playing football, travelling up and down Ireland with the team, and the odd time people say, you're not playing, but just you're travelling, and if you don't play, we play with the 19s the day after. I was happy enough with that, because at least I was getting a game the weekend, but there was one or two weekends where I wouldn't get a game, and I was just training.
Yeah.
I was 17, at this time, and then, eventually it happened. I think Rob Cornwall went off at Richmond, and I was on the bench, and I was absolutely shite myself. I was in Richmond. And Rob, I don't know what it was, his hip flexor or something.
We couldn't spare the glass.
But that's you've probably heard the story. That's was there, proper League of Ireland pros. That's was there, and I remember Rob going down, but in the first half he went down with his hip, and I was
you probably got a bit giddy, did you?
I was shiting myself, I mean, I was running up and down the line, sprinting up and down the line.
Trying to do your hammer.
With nerves, I was thinking, oh my god, and this is horrible. But he's half time came, I was like, oh, he's grand, and about 15, 20 minutes into the second half, he went down, and Lomas looked back at me, and I was like just staring at him.
Don't do it, don't do it.
In my head, you know, in your stomach, you're just like, don't do it, please. I'm too nervous. I was like 17, and then, but in my head, I'm like, just go for it.
You have no choice, do you?
I'm like, just go for it. And yeah, look, come on. And
so when you stepped out then, you probably don't have time to even think about getting nervous down there once the ball's in play.
To be honest, I was. I remember stepping out, Rob coming off, the ball went over the throw in, and Detta had the ball in his hand. And I was playing right, Detta was right back, always was, and I was right centre back at the time when I come on. And like, you know, you're fixing your socks, you're fixing everything, you're just trying to get, like, people are looking at you, you're just like, oh, but the ball's still over the throw in, and I'm looking around, but it felt like everything was slowed down. And I was like, Jesus Christ, this has got a drag in, like, just get this over with. So I can say, just maybe David will play for the first time, that's it. And all I could hear was, oi, you alright, gorgeous? Yeah, Warren. And I was like, and I looked at that, so he's taking the throw, and he's like, what's wrong with you, gorgeous? You alright? Come on, gorgeous. He just kept calling me gorgeous. And he's just taking the piss out of me. And but as soon as I heard that, I was like, yeah, I'm grand. But I just got like somebody speaking to me, and then yeah, after that, the rest was history after that. And then we won that game as well, like, handy. But yeah, some experience at that, so I have to say, he really like just calmed me right down, I'd say.
Yeah, I think I said I had Scott on last week, and the second the podcast finished up, Scott went, bollocks, is what I should have talked more about fucking Detta.
Yeah.
And so what was he like as a captain?
Oh, he was unbelievable. I have to say, like, don't get me wrong, like, to have like Detta as a captain was half the battle coming through as a young lad, because he'd treat you like you're the best thing that's happened. You know, he'd speak to you, he'd ask, he'd help you out so much, and he'd motivate you, like, he'd run through a brick wall for that fella. Like, if the huddle he does, the way he speaks in training, like, the standards that he holds, like, you know, by playing, like, by watching him, you can just say, I'd love to play with him, like, because he'd drag a team through a whole season, never mind the game.
Yeah.
But, you know, he was amazing, I have to say. He still is now. Can I imagine? I haven't spoken to him in a while, I must say. I bumped into him a year ago when I went down to the game, when Longer was the manager still, and that's the last time I spoke to him. And, but we've been in contact for years, like, since I've left, but we haven't been, like, you know, it's hard to keep in contact with everybody. But as a captain, jeez, I'd have him as a captain every day of the week, like. And just don't get me wrong, I have Dean Lewington at MK now, who's amazing, I have to say. Like, him and Detta are probably on par in terms of the captain that I'd probably have, and, you know, they're both similar type of players. But for me, coming through as a young lad at Bowes, to have Detta playing beside me, not just the captain, he played beside me, he held me hand for about 10, 11
suppose
minutes.
You did have a bit of experience around, you had trust behind you as well, like.
Oh, that's what I'm saying, I had so many, I had Subs, I had, like, Wacker, I had Lorcan Fitzgerald, you know, like.
And Wardy was there as well.
And Wardy is the funniest bloke I'll ever meet, like, you know, he's funny, and, like, he just, like, broke the ice in terms of, like, when maybe it did feel a bit nervous, he'd tell a joke or something, everybody'd laugh about it. And teams like that, like, the team was just unbelievable. Like, the lads are unreal. Subs are so good for me. Subs helped me with my move to England, like, when I was struggling.
Mm.
You know, it's probably a story for another day, but I was struggling with my agent at the time, and I had to get a new agent. And Subs is like, listen, I have a guy, Wayne Henderson from Fossa. He lives in, he's Hendo. Like, you know, he used to walk with me. Great lad, like. And Dave Henderson's brother, you know, and I'm still with him now, like, and that was thanks to Subs, just to get me in contact with him, like, and Subs helped me all the way. And, you know, I had all these lads around me, Wacker used to just speak to me in the changing room, I used to sit beside him sometimes, like, just chatting, like, but it's all you need as a young lad, you just need to feel like you're not the lone, you're a young lad, like, you've just been there all the time, and the lads are unbelievable for that, I have to say, unbelievable for it.
Yeah, I think when you came into the team, it was like, you were probably, in terms of the league, like, you had Rob Cornwall, who would have been playing centre half. It wouldn't have been a ball playing centre half. Obviously, he can play fucking football, but he wouldn't have been as, like, as slick of the ball as you were. But even now, the league's probably developed to that stage where you need that, one of the power centre halves, like, on the ball, he's fucking top quality.
Yeah.
It's moved on a little bit, I think, in the league. When you stepped in, you could see, like, you were just able to get the ball out of your feet a bit quicker than most centre halves move around. Sort of reminded me when Stephen Best started off. Unfortunately, he sort of fell off his own cliff.
Yeah.
But you got your move then to Brighton. How did that come about?
Yeah, well, like you said, it was a very short spell in the first team. Like, I think I played about four games, and that's including the off the bench in Richmond, and I'd say I had about three or four starts. And then I was just getting phone calls from this agent at the time who didn't speak to me for years. And I was on a 2-year contract from wherever it is. He didn't speak to me for, say, for a year and a half. And next fall I broke into the Balls first team and played 3 games. Next fall he just came out of the woodwork and he was just like talking to me saying, oh look, we have this club on a trial and things like that. And I was just like this is mad, like, and then I had to go and tell Keith Long was like, listen, we're in season, because we were in season. And before you knew it, he was like, listen, I had like, I think it was Shrewsbury, Norwich, Brighton, Huddersfield or something like that. And I was like, right, but like at the end of the day, like I went to Keith and I was like, listen, these clubs are trying to get in trials and things like that. And Keith was like, you're a first name player, like, you need to play in the league. And I was like, right, fair enough. Like, so I didn't go straight away. There was a lot of controversy about whether I could go on a trial like for 2 days, even like over the weekend or something. Because obviously the league runs differently to the English league. So like we were bang in the middle of the season and I'm playing for the first team. Like, so he was like, you're not going. If they want to sign you, they'll sign you. You're not going on a trial for 2 days, come back and you're injured and then I can't use you and you're stuck.
Yeah.
And I was like, at the same time you're like, oh no, I wanna go
this
on
is my chance,
trial.
Like,
but at the same time you think, at least he wants me. And to be fair, he stuck to his word. And I eventually got over to on a trial. I don't know, I can't remember the perfect time of it, but I went to Shrewsbury for a trial and I done well. Paul Horst, the manager at the time, I was only 17, like, and just turned 18. I done all right, you know, I done well. Picked up a little bit of a knock at the end, so I missed the last day. He called me in the office, said, listen, we're interested, we want to sign you. And I just turned around and said, listen, no disrespect, but I don't want to sign here. Like, I don't think that Shrewsbury is the right place for me. I just didn't like the area, I didn't like the training ground.
Where is that based? It's near Manchester, isn't it?
Yeah, it's up north somewhere. Like, but it's just no disrespect to it. I didn't think it was for me. Like, the way the club was, the way the manager time was, well, I just didn't get a vibe that I want, that I was gonna do well. Like, I thought I would have been the sign there and then leave. And obviously the agent at the time, then there was another one, Norwich was after, so I got a train literally straight to Norwich. And Simon Power was there at the time, another Rovers player now. Yeah. He was there at the time, we both the same agent. And he was had to been there for about 10 days or a week or something. And I turned up and I had a 3-day trial. And we both the same agent. And after the third day, I got called in and said, you want to sign you? And I was like, yeah, I'd sign here. Like, this is lovely, like, I'd sign here. Nice club, championship at the time.
Up and down
the championship. I was like, yeah, this is not bad, like, not bad at all. I was like, yeah, lovely. So I got a phone call and I flew home, buzzing, happy as Larry. There'd been a contract offer in. The money was disgraceful. I was like, no, I'm not happening. I'm not moving away for that money. Like, you know, you'd ask me to move my family, my mum, my dad. They asked me to leave my sisters, my mates. And you already offered me that. Like, no chance. Like, I'll play it for Bowes. That'd be the end of it. That's how a lot of money was. It was like, at the time at Bowes, when I was only a young lad, they weren't paying massive amount of money for me. So, but I'd rather stay at Bowes than the money I was on it and live at home. Yeah. See my mates. But the agent, my agent at the time, had a connection with Norwich, so he wasn't happy that I said no. So we kind of fell out a little bit. And then I got a phone call from John Morland. It was the academy head of director at Brighton. And he was like, what's the crack? You all right? How's teams? I was like, grand, yeah, how's teams? You all right? And I met him. The first time I met him was playing for Ireland in the under-17s qualifiers in Waterford. And he goes, yeah, look, we're interested in you and things like that. And so I just, what's the story? I thought you were interested. I thought you wanted to have a trial at me. He was like, yeah, we do, but your agent told us you didn't fancy us. And there was no such thing said, like, no such thing. I never said anything. I never said no to any club in England because I wanted to see what I could do. And I goes, listen, I was in the middle of Centre buying a chicken fillet roll. Honestly,
professional life.
The phone rang and I seen his name. I dropped it at the deli, like, and I was like, all right, I need to take it. And I took it and I was like, listen, this was coming up to, I think it was about 3 days before Christmas. This was about 4 days before Christmas. And I was like, listen, he goes, your agent is telling us to fuck off. Like, he's not interested. You're signing for Norwich. That's all. I wanted to hear from your voice. Is this true? And I was like, no. I was like, tell you what, book a flight for tomorrow. And because we're in the off season now for Bowes, because we stopped for the Christmas, don't you, in the league. So I was in the off season. So I was like,
take it for all the talkie.
I was like, fuck, Gareth, like, do the flight.
Yeah.
And in fairness to him, he goes, right, you have a flight for you tomorrow. I'll send you the details. And I was like, so I rang my agent and I goes, what's the crack? He was like, oh, look, Norwich's the better club for you, blah, blah, blah. And I goes, and then after that, me and him stopped speaking. So So I went to Brighton, I was literally there for 2 days, but I was at the pull of my hamstring against Finn Harps the last game of the season. I didn't tell Brighton. I didn't tell them. I just done the trial, which was 2 days. I think it was about 2 days before Christmas Day. And I was sitting in the, they had the 2 day trial, just popping painkillers, done it. Done really well. And I went to watch a Brighton game. It was just me and the 23s manager sitting there with John Moran beside us, Simon Rusk at the time. And he was just like, listen, I'll speak to you at half time, but we really like you. Long story short, grand, thanks very much, lovely, happy days. Got the flight back that night, spent Christmas at home. By the time I landed, I had a contract offering me emails from Brighton with about double the amount of money that Norwich were offering. I'm not going to be wrong, it wasn't like life changing, but it was like
enough to fucking push it.
Help me mar out and things like that. 3 year contract, stability. And I loved Brighton. Like, Brighton was unbelievable.
Well, good Irish contingent there as well.
There was a few Irish lads, Aaron Conlon. But
that's one thing I was worried about. You might come home with an accent like him.
No, fuck that. No, look, Az is alright. He's had his trouble like Az, but I think he's finding his feet again to get back down. But
I think he was probably coming. I know he's your mate and all, but I think that there's a serious turn against what the Irish sport, football public. And he came back and said, look, I need to get my head down here, and he seems to be doing it.
He went the whole, like, you know what I mean, and it's tough for him, you know, you get yourself in a rut, it's hard to get out of it.
Especially
in the sport, you know yourself, people don't forget. They don't forget things.
Stephen Oyler still gets it.
There you go, like, that's the way it goes, but I landed off the plane, and I had this contract offer, and I was just like, wow, and then I'd ring the agent at the time, and he was like, no, look, no, Norwich, he was just fixed on Norwich, and I was like, listen, I'm signed with Brighton, this is made my life, my career, I'm going to Brighton, I don't like Norwich now.
And does the agent have any final say, or?
But I was in contract with him, so I went back into January full time, I had a Bowes back, that's where I brought all of it, believe it or not. John Morland said, come over for 2 weeks, we'll sort you out in digs and that, and like, bring a bit of clothes, but we'll let you go back. So I had two Bowes bags over my shoulder. And like Bowles, I think the number was 22, and then I had 20.
I think I've 22 on there myself. I read Paddy Kirk's a couple of years ago when he left the first time.
That's what it was, mine, 22, I think it was. And I walked into this digs, I left them there, the family was lovely, and then I never went back. But my agent had to turn up to do the papers and that like that at the time. I won't name him, because it is where it is from. And he came out, took pictures with me and all, smiley, as if we were the best mates ever, and then after that, as soon as the contract ran out, I said, right, good luck. And then I went with Hendo, who's been absolutely unbelievable for me now. But yeah, I walked into the digs with two Bowes bags, not having a clue. I think I was going back in 2 weeks to collect the rest of my stuff, and I didn't go back till the summer.
Yeah, and I suppose you went over there, said good Irish contingent there at the time. What was it like then? You've gone from first in football, having a taste of it, and then you're into under 23s, wasn't it?
23s at the time, yeah. It was tough, it was tough, I have to say. It was completely different. And I will never change the footpath, the pathway that I had.
But there was an element of there's players like probably your age who probably have less than 20, 30 caps at senior football. They've just been playing under 23s.
Yeah.
And they don't kick senior football, and all of a sudden, they're 22, haven't kicked the ball.
100%. Like the one thing I struggled with was the intensity of just the 23s league. Like, technically, they were miles ahead of me, but physically, they weren't that far. I wasn't that far behind them because I was at them and playing men's football.
Yeah.
Now I was 18s in a 23s team. Then you had boys who were 24, 23 who hadn't kicked the ball for a first team. Yeah. And I was walking in as a first team player basically because I was playing for a ball. So I count myself as a first team.
You've been in the dressing room for 6 or 7
months. I've been with men, I've been shouted at, I've been told to fuck off. But you're kind of babied a little bit in Brighton. Not in Brighton, sorry, in 23s. And there was a couple of things where you just get the silver spoon, and there was a few things that annoyed me about the 23s, and you know, when you're growing up, especially in Dublin, the Irish lads are great for it. They don't take anything for granted. The kit man comes in, you give him your kit, or you put it in the wash bag yourself. Some of the boys just leave them on the floor, wash me boots and things like that. Just done me head in a little bit, because I grew up I'm thinking, imagine that's my ma, somebody's asking my ma to clean it. Nah, I'll do it myself, there's the wash, and throw it in. There's a few little things like that, but look, I would never change. Brighton, absolutely unbelievable for me. It wasn't just the whole, it wasn't just the football, it was made me a man, made me who I am today. The way they looked after me, and the way they let me go to MK for a trial when I had just on loan when I had a year left, it was mental, but I'd never changed my footpath at all, I have to say. It was it was perfect. You see a lot of lads going to 13 or 4, 15, 16, and then they come back and they're in Ireland 4 years later. For me to go at, say, 18, I would never change it. It was absolutely perfect for me.
Yeah, and then, of course, you got player of the year on the, I think, Premier League 2, wasn't it?
It was a young player of the year in Brighton.
In Brighton.
Yeah, that was literally the end of the season. I'd done really well for the 23s that year. I was on the bench for the Carabao Cup once, for the first team, and I'd done really well, and I felt like I was growing into a type of player where that's when I was kind of asking Brighton, I need to go on loan now, because I had a year left in my contract, and as much as I loved Brighton, I knew I was never going to play, because of they were starting to come into the team that they are now, like the club that they like to buy in, proper players, like South Americans coming over who...
Young fellas from Dublin.
For
a bit of
When Evan came over, yeah, I remember he came off from his trial, me and Jason Malumbi had him in her apartment at the time. We used to live together, me and Malumbi, and he had a trial with us, and he was something, like, you know, he was very, very good, I have to say. Look, I just knew it was my time. I was never going to play it before this time. Now we had Shane Duffy still there, Lewis Dunk, you know, and so I was about 20, 21 at the time, and I knew that I had to get out and play. Like, this was my last chance. If I had stayed and not played first team and seen my contract out at Brighton, I think I would have been back playing League of Ireland, and I couldn't do that, especially like with the responsibility I had, like in terms of me ma, like trying to look after my family and things like that. I said, I need to get out, like whether that's you sell me or you let them sell me on loan, I need to go.
Yeah.
And in fairness, they did, like, you know, they sent me Russell Martin. He rang me, I think it was about 10 o'clock at night. He goes, I need you up here tomorrow at 7 or 8 for a medical. And I literally didn't sleep that night. Honestly, I didn't unpack any bags. I had to drive about 2 hours to get to Milton Keynes. And I ducked on my medical.
The big bad city.
Yeah, but that was it, like, you know. And yeah, and then that was it. The rest is history of that. And yeah, it was sad leaving Brighton, I have to say. Because it's the best place in England for me, like in terms of sunny beaches and things like that. It was like a holiday for me. I'm not gonna lie, play football every day.
Play football on the beach. Yeah, 20 Irish lads around you all the time as well.
20 Irish, all the coaches around.
And then I think you said Russell Martin there. Where did you finish that season in MK Dons?
So the first season we only finished 13, but like...
Was Richie Kyle beside you?
Easy was there.
What was that like having him beside you as well? Someone who basically...
He was already after coming back from that knee injury in the car crash and all that, which... I'm not even getting into that. Fucking hell, he's heard that, he didn't ring me. He was grand, I'd say. No, he was so experienced to learn to play. I played beside him, he played in the middle. We played a back three at the time. I was on the right and he was in the middle. We only played for 6 months, but it's just the way he was. Like, he was so experienced. Like, he wasn't the quickest, wasn't the strongest, like couldn't jump the highest. But his timing of when to jump, he'd win every header. The way he put his body in positions, like he wouldn't have to use his strength. And obviously he's coming near the end of his career at that time.
He always played first team football every Wembley. You always entered into a team.
Like even at Derby, I think we had Bradley Johnson this year at Derby, and he was telling me, like, Casey was like, I think he went 3 years without missing one game, and he played every 90 minutes every game for 3 years straight. That's unheard of. Yeah. I done it the year we nearly got promoted, not last season, we got relegated, the year before, when we nearly went up and we lost out by a point. I played every game, and I swear to God, that summer, I was in bits. Now, I only played, that was 1 year of it.
Well, it's tough because you're playing basically fucking Saturday, Wednesday.
Saturday, Tuesday. I played 55 games that year. 55, 90 minutes.
What's it like playing over the Christmas? Is it like as mental as fucking make it out to be?
It's nuts. Oh, it's crazy. Like, you know, Christmas Day, you're in training. You know, you wake up and I don't have any kids around. And obviously, I've no family in England. I've only my missus' family now. So she's from Brighton. So we went down to Brighton, spend a whole and literally wake up and you see like all the nephews have a bit of Christmas dinner. And they'd have it early so I could eat it. So they'd have Christmas dinner at, say, 1 o'clock. And then I was just like, right, thanks very much. And then I'd be up the road, I'd drive 2 hours to go to train. You'd start training at 5 o'clock and then you'd have to... Last year, we had Lincoln away. Like, we had to go and stay in a hotel on Christmas Day. And then play on Stephen's Day. Oh, and then you'd play on New Year's. Like,
on New Year's.
Christmas isn't Christmas to us. You have one day and that's the busiest time of the year. It's bleeding mental. It's,
yeah. It's fucking, it was mad when you had the Premier League players complain about it, and then you was fucking probably doing more miles than fucking there.
He's played in 48 games in League One.
Yeah.
In a 46, 48 league games.
That's before you get to the playoffs.
Yeah, the FA Cup. And yeah, you have the
Johnson, the Payne Trophy.
The FA Cup, the Johnson, the
League Cup.
The League Cup. Like, you know what I mean? Just, you've three cups, probably playoffs if you're lucky, which an extra could be three games. And yeah, then you have 48 league games. You're talking to, you know, 57, 58 games. I think you have a minimum of 51 games or something in League One. So for all, like, the, all the cups. The minimum.
Yeah, it's a fucking lot of football.
Well, don't get me wrong, the Premier League boys are a different standard, like, they're monsters. Yeah. Like, that, them games are like, ten, like, the intensity is ridiculous.
You went there for Don's Bet United, weren't you?
No, that was a long
time. Was that long ago, yeah? No, all the years, no. When you get to my age, no, where are they all? But, we're like, all
we, at the one. But, like, we played at Premier League, we played Arsenal in pre-season, Tottenham, Fulham, Leicester this year, Watford this year. Them boys are freaks. Yeah. Like, you know, you look at them and you think, you do say it, like, even I say, he's shy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You say, fuck, what's he doing?
How would that be a force man in the fucking corner?
There's me ma ringing me, look at him. But, no, that's what I mean. Like, how do you not beat the, like, these boys are like, when you play against them, I could look like, I'm trying to mark a Aubameyang and fucking Son and shit like that. I know I'm not the slowest, but I'm not the fucking quickest, and them boys are bleeding rapid.
Aubameyang especially, like, the cuts about
Kieran Tierney, he maybe took me on an done an overlap, and I was thinking, right, I'll run him, he fucking breezed past me, he was already jogging. The boys are animals, I'm telling you, and they look tiny on telly. These aren't tiny, like,
big lads.
They're at least 6'1", 6'2". They're not small at all, and they're big boys. If you're smaller, you're wider. That's the way they are.
Yeah, they're all fucking different level.
But you do look on telly and say, for fuck's sake, what's he at? Like, 100% you do it. But yeah, that was that was Russell. Like you said, Russell Martin, he gave me the chance, and fair play to him.
So then Liam Manning came in, took the reins.
Yeah, but Russ left. Like, we played Bournemouth. We got beaten 5-0 in the Carabao Cup. And the league started the week after. And this were having a whole pre-season in England. Like, and we were flying, like, and we played Bournemouth, but there was a little whisper that Russell Martin was going to Swansea the night before. And
how does that affect you, or does it?
We knew something was up. We woke up the next morning, and like, it was just a bit quiet, and like, it was like, this is strange. Like, you know, there wasn't really any hype around it. We were playing Bournemouth, we were in the Championship in the Carabao Cup, which starts before the league.
Yeah.
In England, like, that cup was the first game of the season, like, basically. And I think we were the earliest team in history to get knocked out of it. that year was the earliest game it's ever been, and we got hammered 5-0 in Bournemouth, and I mean hammered, like, and the MK fans were chanting about Russ, like, and I got a bit nasty, and then look, we got hammered 5-0. There's where it is. We went in the dressing room, we're all just sitting there like, Jesus Christ, you got hammered 5-0. You're thinking, Jesus Christ, nothing could get worse. And then he walked in, and he was like, lads,
as FYI.
Yeah, that's us, you know, I'm taking the staff. And we were all devastated, because like, that style of football that year with us, you've probably seen that Swansea. We played it, like, as well, like, ticky-tacky. Don't get me wrong, sometimes it can be a bit frustrating, but that was the best style of football. It was so enjoyable to play in. It's not enjoyable to watch sometimes. But to play in it, it was ridiculous. It was so good.
You more of a back three or back four, man?
Back three.
Right side.
I played there most of my career, but I played in the middle. Played in the middle last year a little bit.
As you get older, you'd be playing more in the middle.
Yeah, I'm getting slower. I'm getting slower over the months, never mind the years. But yeah, he left, and then Manning came in. It was tough for him, because obviously the window was closed and all, like, this. He had Russ's team, but he just made a few tweaks, and we done really well with it. Like I said earlier, we were literally a point out of the Championship.
I think you were like top three were miles clear as well, weren't you?
Rotherham and Wigan were like a good 9 points clear of us.
But you were clear the rest as well, weren't you, nearly?
I think we were about 7 points off fourth and fifth. Like, we were a point off Rotherham in the last game. We had Plymouth the last game. And Rotherham were playing Gillingham, and we needed Gillingham to at least get a draw, I think. And we needed to win. And we went 5-0. Like, we were like, you're ready to go up. Like, we were like, yeah. I think it was 3-0. It was 1-0 at half time, and then at 3-0, everybody was just looking at the sideline, like, this game's over, what's the other one like? And there was that one stage where the fans cheered, but I don't know what they were cheering for. I think Gillingham hit the crossbar or something, but our fans started cheering. And we were like, oh my god, like, we're up. So we're all running around again, and next one we know, we found out that that being, that's the striker, Darth Bowes, who's played by Bowes.
George Kelly
scored. Fucking bastard.
Yeah, wait a few. I called him out for being fucking shy when before he left.
He scored anyway, and then we knew it was over. So yeah, we went to the playoffs, and that Wickham team that beat us, we played them five times that year. And we beat them four times, and the one time they beat us, they went through to the Wembley.
Big lad wasn't up front, was he? He was probably.
I confirm that.
Was he still playing for me?
Him three times.
What was it like?
He's a bloody monster. He's a monster. Can't run, they can't move.
Yeah, he's just a fucking stocking, like, just
If he touches it, you're not moving. Like, he just holds. He's holding two of us at one time. Honestly, he's bleeding nuts, he is. But yeah, that was a good year. That's just unfortunate. And look, this year happened, didn't it? Like, we took Dawson off balls and took a few players from the League of Ireland, and look, it didn't happen. And it's not the League of Ireland. Like, I was saying, maybe some fans and MK Dons are saying, oh, the Irish players are this and that, like, we've too many of them rebel. It's not just, it was not to do with the Irish players. The club knows where the mistakes have been made, and that's really it with this season.
I think the man had a bad start to the season. I think he's 1 point out of 20 or something to start. From a team that went like from toward, like, you were probably thinking in your head, right now, we're the ones that are going to go straight up this year.
We were favourites to go up, but the recruitment was just completely wrong, you know, and we signed too many players that weren't ready for the league, and we signed too many prospects, and that will be very, very good players in a year or two.
But it's no use to MK Dons now.
But yeah, but when you have like a lot of them, who's playing now then? Like, you know, the way, like, that's what
where's
we were,
the senior?
We were kind of like, where's the senior figures? Like, who's the lads who are going to come in and be like, yeah, I've won this league. Like, I know how to win it. This is what we do. You need a few of them.
Yeah.
You know, and I think a lot of team had them. We didn't. We didn't have many of them. I think we already had, like, I was 23 last year. I just turned 24 in April, gone. And I was one of the senior players.
Yeah.
And they're going to be wrong.
You probably would have been the oldest player at Bowles last year.
Yeah, like, there you go. But look, it is what it is. It's been a horrible year. I'm not going to lie, it was the worst year of my career by far.
We're both here sitting with similar injuries at the moment.
Yeah.
Both our football careers ran down.
I done mine on a pitch. What did you do yours? You got to tell them.
I was enjoying myself. But bad injury. Probably, yeah, that was probably just after Christmas, was it?
That was January, yeah. I was actually playing Lincoln.
Against your old pal,
against me old mate, Danny Mandrew, yeah. Yeah, look. It was a bit of a freak. I had an op on it 2 years ago. I just broke my foot again, broke my fifth mate again. And I had a pin 2 years ago with a proper surgery, top dog, like, in London. And I jumped up for a head out, landed, twisted my ankle, and I felt a crack straight away.
Yeah.
But I thought it was my ankle. But because I already had the surgery 2 years ago, it was my fifth net that snapped again. But because I had the surgery, the pin was in it. It was holding it together still, but it was just cracked. So I grew up and I was like, oh, that's not too bad, like, to the physio. And the physio was like, yeah, go on then, give it 5 minutes. Grand, yeah, walked back on the pitch. As soon as I got to the jog, it was collapsed. It was gone, yeah, completely. But I went into the bleeding hospital, and your man x-rayed me. We had a guy there from MK Dons at the time, so I was straight in. He showed me the x-ray. He goes, I don't think it's broken or anything. Stupid cunt. Showed me the x-rays, a big crack through my bone. And I was like looking at him like, you all right? And he was looking at me like, what? I was like, you not see the big crack beside my screw, like, where I had my surgery 2 years? He goes, oh, I thought you always had that because you had a screw in it. I was like, no, you don't walk around with cracks in your bones. Now I'm fuming at this stage, and I was giving him loads, and look, it is, I was out for 3 months. And
probably hard watching from the side though.
It's the worst time in my life. I was actually a commentator.
For the MK on TV.
Yes, the only thing I could do was commentating for them, and it's the worst day. I've had injuries, and I've missed games, all the little things, and I've had broken bones and shit like that. But that was by far the worst time in my career.
And Mark Jackson came in then.
Yeah, Mark Jackson, when Lee Manning got sacked just before Christmas, Jacko came in, yeah. And yeah, it was his first job, you know, and he found it very, I think it was tough for him. We were in a tough stage. We haven't been outside the relegation for ages, and we done well. We had a run, like, I was injured. We did have a run where we got over, and we were looking all right. You know, look, you get what you deserve in football, in my eyes. And eventually we went down, come down to the last day anyways, and we think we had bleeding 31 shots against Bournemouth.
Fucking hell.
And we just couldn't fucking score. We only needed to win. But we played Barnsley the week before, we were 4-1 up.
Drew 4-4, wasn't it?
We drew fucking 4-4. If we had won that game and drew the last game like we did, it would have been up anyway, so we shot ourselves in the foot. But fuck it, anyway, it's done, nothing you can do about it.
Nothing you can do about it now, and the man, new gaffer in the door, Graham Alexander. He managed our mutual pal, Rossi, up in Motherwell.
Yeah.
He got sacked from there and he's looking a crack now at League 2 now. But.
Yeah, well, I think he's had success at League 2 before with Salford and somebody else. He's actually won it and been promoted from League 2. So I think that's why we've appointed him. I spoke to him during the week and he seems like a very nice coach, a very nice manager, a nice guy. And he has a few nice ideas. And look, I've never worked for him. And like you said, Rossi might have done well. And I can't really comment much on him. I can just tell you from what I've heard of him that he's supposed to be the proper deal for that level for League 2, you know. So a bit of luck. A bit of luck, we go straight back up. You know, I don't know which way it's going to look. And you know, like I'm said, I'm on the off season. We're on the summer break now. Us lads from England who play there, and we haven't been thinking about football since that last game, since we got relegated. You know, went straight on holiday, and so it's been trying to forget about it. And then it's just kind of creeping back in. You know, you can't help but think of last season. And what happened last season? Would we do that? Would we do that? But look, it's a fresh start for the club, and we need it. You know, there's been a few changes, and we definitely need it. And, yeah, sometimes you just wish you were back playing League of Ireland with my mates and just seeing me
well, look, the balls aren't paying peanuts anymore either.
No,
a few couldn't stay in a few, Bob.
Yeah, I know. And that's brilliant to hear, you know. It was nothing like that when I was there, and that's a credit to the club. I don't think you'll find a better club in Ireland like that. Like, you know, the people, like I said, the people in it, like around you, just feel like a family. It's unbelievable. And to hear the boys are getting paid decent money, like, it's exactly what I want to be hearing. Like, you know, it's one of the reasons why. Well, no, obviously it is one of the reasons why I left, because I need to look after myself, my family and things like that. You want to try and make as much money as you can in this game.
Yeah, it's a fucking I know people give stick and all, like fucking like us calling manager or wanker and fucking everyone knows that, right? At the end of the day, you went there over as a cunt, but in the back of everyone's head you're like
money
you know, it's a short career, like.
It does talk, and like especially at your age, it's like me leaving balls, deep down I didn't want to do it, but deep down I knew I had to.
Yeah,
I didn't want it. 17-year-old doesn't want to leave. 18-year-old doesn't want to leave his hometown, his mates, his family, like just for like an extra few bob. Like, but when you think of the bigger picture, you're thinking like this could be something very, very good if you do it right and you have a good go at it. And that's kind of why it does it. But to hear Bowers are paying, I don't know what the money is, to be honest with you, because I don't know many people there, and I would never ask the question. To hear the balls that they're paying decent and people
full
are happy
time,
to come,
like, so,
they're full time, like it's got to attract more, and it's great for the league as well.
Yeah,
you know, that's what it needs to be. Like most teams needs to be like that now. It needs to be full time. You need to be bang at it. Like it should be the job. That should be it. That's, if you want the league to aspire into it, in my eyes, all the teams have to be doing it. That's the way it should be, and it's fucking lovely to hear that balls are doing it. Definitely.
Yeah, and you said yourself, you do have a story for me, don't you? So I asked you to see, could you wrap up something for any managers? Liam, Manon.
No, that was the year we really went up. We went out, we were in London, and that's tiny. He's at Bourne, you know. Yeah, we were out there having a few drinks. Obviously, we had an amazing year. We knocked out after the playoffs, and we were having a few drinks in London as a team. And the gaffer was in London at the time. He rang us and he goes, oh, look, we're having a drink inside this hotel. And we all went up to this hotel just to see them. And Tony was there having a good few on him, and fucking before we knew it, I was looking at him, we were chatting, and Tony's telling us what they got for next fight, just wraps his arm around his head, gets him in a headlock, like messing with his hair and all. And we're just looking at him like, this could, like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, he has that gaffer in a headlock, like that. I'm like, Jesus Christ, like, Tony, you got to remember this in the morning. And the gaffer's like laughing about it, and he does it again, and like, he's holding him, like, he's getting a little bit, you know, you're kind of looking saying, like, this is too bad.
Enough of this.
And the guy was like looking at all the lads saying, get him on me before I say something. So as you're walking out, fucking Tiny walk, Gaffer turns around to Tiny and goes, hey, you come here, see you tomorrow morning in my office. Tiny sobered up like that. He read the taxi like that. He was just sitting there up straight looking at me. Like, look, what's wrong with you? He's like, he wasn't serious, was he? He wasn't serious. He doesn't want to see me in the morning, does he? And we were winding him up for the whole night. The whole night, we were like, yeah, he does. But no, that was just the one from England that I have, and obviously the Longers, I think Oscar Brennan was speaking about the one with Longers about
the night we went down.
Would have been one of your first probably nights out with the club.
I think that was me. I'm not gonna lie. I think that was me forcing. And then obviously the Liverpool trip. But I think that was after that one. And when Izzy, we all had to get the boat for fucking Izzy because he didn't have a passport. The cunt didn't turn up. We were all in this boat.
And, I think it's young old Martin showed up. Was
yeah,
dressed up.
We had, I don't know what he wears, Wally or something. I don't know what he turned up in, but he got him lovely. But no, I think that was me forcing out of the club. And that was when that was Detzer again looking after me in Dublin. He got me into this, like, obviously I was too young to go out. I don't need an idea. I was looking for fake ideas and all the time. I was trying to give the lender an idea and things like that. And Detzer was like, don't worry about it, just walk in with me. And then that was it. But yeah, I walked in. I don't know where we were. I don't know what it was called.
I think it's in the one at the end of the left-hand side on the end of Harcourt Street. Yeah, at the Lewis stop.
I don't know what clear it was. We got split up somewhere. I don't know where, but we end up in a little group, so I'm getting taxis or something, you know, you can't, there's about five taxis going towards and we went up to it, and I was looking at it, I just seen Longers, and I was he's the manager, I'm still like 17, I'm not going to be going over and like chatting to him like, I don't know, like Dets or I don't know, Born a Whacker or something, you know what I mean, I'm still the young lad here.
Keep your distance from your boss, like.
Yeah, like, you're afraid to even have a drink in front of you.
Say hello when you walk in, and that's it.
Yeah, like, right, to the corner and face the wall. Well, no, he was at the Hallam a few, and we had to rev up that year, and I was just looking around, I was, you know, like, get longer, you know, like, and he was like, see you, caught, like, look, you had a few on him, see you, you're the superstar, you're my star, or something, got me and grabbed me and that, and I was like, yeah, and I swear to God, I turned around, and I don't know what I was doing, I was getting a drink or something. Turn back around, he was on the fucking table with a smoke in his hand, waving his top around. And I was looking around, I was like, Jesus Christ, what is going on here? And yeah, look, I think Oscar was saying that story the other day.
Yeah,
that was probably the funniest one I have with a manager before.
It's gas, because fucking like, so we were talking about today, Longo was always sort of reserved in terms of media, and I wouldn't let both players to media, even himself. Obviously, until he was looking for, as a manager, shows himself about, he has to.
100%,
but like, he does have a bit of character about him.
Oh, he's like 100%. His management skills for me were unbelievable. And he was, in my eyes, he was like, he looked after the squad in terms of like, he had to speak to him. He had to speak to players, tell them that in squads, tell them when they're starting, like trying to make confidence boosts and things like that. And then Trevor, he was the coach, he was the brains of it. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, obviously, he knows the game. Like, he wants to play a certain formation. He picks the team at the end
4-2-3-1.
Of the day.
4-2-3-1. Yeah, one up top.
And, but Trevor was done most of the training. Keith done a little bit, but Trevor done most of when I was there. And I was never exposed to that when I was that age, like the intensity and the detail of it with Trevor. And to be fair, I think Trevor saw something in me where he knew like, I could probably play higher. And I was like growing, I was developing like nicely on the balls, and even when like he used to meet me for like, we used to go meet for coffee, we'd go through clips together, like, and just little things like that. It was so detailed, but he loves football, he loves it.
That's what I said to Scott on last week, and he did show sandwich out there. He said he used to bring me into the library where he was working, call me in, and he'd be going through my clips where I can improve or something like that.
Yeah,
he said, like, he just fucking loves the game.
Even like, when I went to Brighton actually. I saw it with Brian, and I came back for a summer or something.
You were training, weren't you, boss?
No, I never done it. I never trained with boss, no, but I came back for summer, and he must have heard that I got back, or I went out to a game, and he must have seen. He seen me actually at a game, I think. And I woke up the next day, I had a text him saying, what's the story? Are you up for it? You want to have a chat? Like, I went down to that Bang Bang and had a coffee down there in Fisbrough. And he was like, yeah. I was like, yeah, we can go and have a chat. Yeah. He was just asking me, he wanted to know the details about, like, what's it like as a young lad to go to England. So he was taking notes on me. Like, he was like, I was like, oh, look, you have to move. And he was like, what's the coaching like? I was like, oh, the detail and this and the intensity and this, and we do this every day. But he was trying to improve himself and improve the league. In my eyes, not just improve balls.
Yeah.
He was trying to evolve the league and evolve this the way we need to do it. Like, we need to make a professional environment and that.
Would you say, obviously, he's been involved in senior football, would you say quite even nearly more suited to that role he has at balls, like youth development?
I don't think it's a bad thing, definitely not. You know, I never had him as a manager, so I can't say, oh, lucky to be a good manager.
Yeah, I don't think there's any interest in being a full-time manager.
Yeah, and just listen to some coaches out, there's some people out there who've had a crack at it and don't like it one bit, and they'd rather be a number two or a youth development officer, or whatever it's called. I think he'd be suited for both. Like, if I could pick somebody as a League of Ireland coach, I would probably pick Trevor straight away.
Yeah.
Bang, there you go, have him, detail, like, the passion for the game.
like the standards he has, like no takes no shit for it. Either doing it, you're fucking not. That's the end of it.
Yeah.
You know, either my way or you're out. And that's the way it is. And to be the youth development hospital, I think it's great for young lads to see somebody like that. To get that the detail, to get that intensity at a young age, obviously, like, you need to enjoy football first and foremost, no doubt about it. You don't, like, be a 13-year-old, somebody's coming in and saying, win, or run laps and shit. None of that. Trevor was like, football, get the football at your feet. Use your left foot. Come in 10 minutes before training, come and get your left foot going. That's what he was doing with me, you know, and I think he'd be great, very, very well suited to that part at Bowes now, at the moment. And look, that's at the system now. I don't think, like I said, I can't comment on Declan because I don't actually know. I've never played, I've never worked with him.
Yeah.
But look, that's his assistant. Just having him around the club was amazing. And then having Trevor in the background, I don't think it's a bad thing at all, not gonna lie.
Yeah, and just touching on you there, I suppose, you said you came in and it was the 17s only getting formed together in the league.
Yeah, the League of Ireland on the 17s just got made, and that Bowes just happened to have a team, and like I said, Jimmy Miles is the manager. So it was literally like straight into there, and then that was basically, that's when I really started saying, I was in a course to eat at the time doing a PLC. Yeah. Like, it was more
the football course.
I didn't even do that. I was literally fucking just in class to eat. It wasn't even a football course at the time. That was gone when I was there, I think. I was doing like leisure management or something like that, and I did it. And then I was kind of more going down, like, I need to find an alternative. Like, I was not football at this stage. Yeah. I was like, I need to find something where I can make a living now.
Yeah. But how have you found the League of Ireland? Obviously the underage has completely changed now. It's basically right down to, I think it's under 14s or 13s.
Yeah, I think it's 13s. I think it's 13s, and I think it's like,
there was obviously a big fucking kerfuffle when that happened, that like the likes of Leeds and Cherry Arch at Kevin's and fucking how far they were kicking up saying where the fucking heritage of Irish
100%,
I know. I understand it, but you need your league of your Premier Division senior football team, they have to be the attraction.
It's the closest thing to an academy, you know. Like, in terms of, you have a lot of lads going to England because they want to go to an academy to develop.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, 100% agree, like, on the argument of Home Farm, Cherry Orchard, Kevin's, wherever it is. Like, saying we're the heritage of, like, we started this, 100%, like, yeah, but to have the League of Ireland, like, to have a 13-year-old play for Bowes and looking up at the first team, you're looking at that pathway straight away.
Yeah.
Where if you look at, like, say, obviously, Kevin's have linked in with Bowes now and things like that, and a few clubs have linked in. I don't know who, wherever, linked in with Shells, wherever. But yeah, like, I think it's the right thing to do, because it's the closest thing to, like, I'm not saying it's academy where you build family over and deeds and shit like that. I'm not saying anything like that. But if I was a young lad and I was playing for Bowes at 13 and I was looking at, I don't know, who was the centre back? I'm not forgetting his name.
Kaspar Novak and Horton.
No, I thought when I was younger.
Oh, jeez.
When I was playing.
Maybe he was probably in centre half at the time, was he?
Yeah, I'm thinking of when I was 17. He played with Pico. Is that all?
Prendergast?
No, the other one. He straightened me around my first session. In my first training session, the first time, he dragged fuck out of me bib. I'm forgetting his name.
Prendergast, no, Cornwall.
Old.
Price.
No, old. Oh, we'll come back to it. It'll come back to me. I don't know where he is now, but if I was a young lad at 14, looking up and playing for balls and looking at, as a defender, like, looking, saying, right, I can see, if you get to, like, even see them sometimes, training and things like that, I think it's the best thing.
Yeah, it's true, as well as that they're walking, like, obviously, I imagine the kids are going to the fucking match on a Friday, they're walking to, now with the first, when you were going, we were probably going, was 1,000 people at the matches.
Yeah, it wasn't that many now.
Now it's fucking, you can't get into the kip, it's fucking 5,000 people now.
I was struggling to get tickets there 3 weeks ago. I was ringing Dawson, he told me he was the king of the, he told me he ran the place, he was
playing
joke, get me a ticket.
We were hoping to have Dawson today, he was well able to get a ticket for forbidden fruit.
Yeah, I know, put that out the fucking eyebrows. No, I think back to that. I think I'm all for it. I know 100% agree what the clubs are saying in terms of Kevin's Home Farm and whoever club it might be. But to have an under 13s, to have a 12-year-old playing for Bowes, if they're from Cabra like I was, like, I can only imagine he's got to want to keep playing till he gets to the first team. That would be the dream for him.
Yeah.
And that was the dream for me. At one stage, I played first team in Dalymount, and I did. And that was because I was from Cabra, so I might be another lad somewhere. But it's all about evolving the league. You've got to get better players.
Give 5-6 years, you've got to get better players who are technically better, bigger, stronger, full training. Like, they've got to know the club, they're feel comfortable. I think it's got to involve the league 100%.
Yeah, and of course now, you just said you turned 24 last month, or the month before.
Hey, yeah.
So you're probably not getting a bit old, but in terms of football, your career's now coming along nice. You're coming into your prime.
Yeah, no, it's like, I've settled in really well at Milton Keynes, you know, I'm very comfortable there, and I've got a year left in my contract, and we see what happens. Like you said, I'm 24, I'm 25, and my contract runs out. It's getting to that age where it's going to crunch time, you know.
What is the, I'm going to say the roof, the championship, maybe Premier League?
You have to aim high, don't you? You know, and I think personally, after last season with the injury and that, it's tough to gauge where I'm at the moment. Don't get me wrong, I feel like I'm loved at MK, you know, I feel like the fans like me, the club like me, I love the club and things like that. And it's so hard to gauge. I've never played in League Two. No, I've never played in the Championship. I've played League Two teams and I've played Championship teams though, and I've held me own against both of them.
Yeah.
I've played Premier League teams and got the runaround. So you're kind of like saying Premier League's too big of a step. And I think the Championship would be, I think it'd be a tough challenge for me. You know, I think I can play in League One week in, week out, no problem. Like, I've done it. I've done it for 3 years now. And I've felt like I've done really well considering where I've come. Like, I've a little lad from Calgary. You know, that's my success in my eyes. You know, obviously I went to Brighton, people think, oh, he's not successful, you know, because he hasn't played a first team.
How many cunts don't come back and don't pick a ball again?
That's the way I look at it. I can't remember I was doing an interview with him, and he was like, oh, you didn't really have success, did you, at Brighton? I said, listen, I left home to go and play, and I developed, and I have a life now. I've moved, I've bought a house in England, I've settled down, and this is 5 years later. It's a success for me.
How many people in Brighton's academy go on to play for Brighton first team?
I know loads of them haven't.
Loads
of them don't play football.
They don't play football again. So you're probably talking about maybe one every 2 or 3 years.
Well, that's it. Everybody has their own path. Don't be wrong.
Yeah,
100%. Jason Malumbi, he's flying with the Irish team. He's flying for West Brom. And then you have other lads Aaron hit a good stage. He's coming back now. And that's Rever. But even Dano, when he was coming back to Bowes, I gave Keith a ring and said, Dano's coming back. He's asked me about League One. I'm giving you a heads up. He's coming back.
Yeah.
Probably go after him. He's a good player, technically good. And look, whatever happened. He moved on. Everybody's on their own path.
I remember, I think it was after, maybe in one of the first games, he played Sligo, but it was Team Manjo. I don't think he played the game. But remember, Detta walked in. He was in the fucking clears. We were down there. It was the day after we played Sligo away, and Detta walked in. He was chatting to us, his lads. He said, fella hasn't played yet, Dan O'Manjo, wait till you see this cunt. If he can get his head right, he can go fucking right to the top. We might not even have him pass the summer.
No, easy technically.
But I said a couple of weeks ago, I was actually chatting to Kevin Hunt last week, and he always said, it's always that same style of player that you can't get it out of. Like O'Manjo, like he said, Paddy McCarth. It always seems to be the number 10, fucking Adele Tara.
Yeah,
he had a during the week. He had a move to Liverpool, and he says, "No, I like London."
I know.
It's always that number 10, isn't it? It doesn't fucking.
Yeah, I know. It's tough. Like you said with Dano. Look, don't get me wrong. He moved to Lincoln. You know, he's done really well last season at Lincoln.
Yeah.
You know, he's done very, very well for his first year, and he probably got his head straight a little bit. But I know what you're saying in terms of that type of player, and you could see that in Dano a little bit. And that's probably why he came home, because he was kind of losing it a little bit in England, and he came back to England, back to Ireland for a bit, and gone back to England now. Please God, he's done well this year, so hopefully he just keeps going with it, because he's a mate of mine. I met him in Brighton, so I know what happened with Bowes. He went, you're not fucking sorry, the little rat, but and I told him that as well. But at the end of the day, he's my mate, you know. I met him in Brighton, he was looking after me for a year or two before he left, so I wish him all the best, definitely. And I'm still in contact with him now. I was texting him yesterday, to be fair, so. But there is always that type of player where they're so good, but they know they're so good, and it's the kind of not stop working hard, but it's like you're trying to drag blood from a stone a little bit. Just do a little bit more. Just do this. Just train every day, and don't be fucking about and things like that. It's just little things like that. There's loads of players out there that are like that, though. Like you said, you need to treat them off the bat.
Yeah.
There's obviously players around me in England that I know. I'm not going to say names, but there is loads of them out there who just know they're so good.
You just have to fucking.
You turn her on, turn her off. You need to just have her on.
Yeah, I suppose we'll wrap up there in terms of your football career, and you're probably said looking forward to. You know, since you're probably League One, it's probably what you're comfortable at. You want to challenge yourself a championship.
Yeah, definitely.
But if Wrexham came knocking at the door, the big money, the bright lights, the Hollywood.
Ah, definitely. Ah, look, I have a good mate at Wrexham, Jordan Davis. I met him at Brian. He's from.
He's a Wrexham proper fan, yeah. He's a
Wrexham boy, like.
Well, could be wrong here. I think he's one of the. He used to be a Wrexham hooligan as well. Like, could be wrong.
Oh, yeah, I met him in Brighton. He's a great player, like, and he's obviously playing for Wrexham now. And, you know, and he's almost obviously we're asking questions of what's he like, what's that, like, what's the owner like, and things. And obviously, the club is booming. Like, there's nothing about it. Like, they grew up from. And rightly so, they grew up, and Notts County pushed them to the limit as well, which is lovely to see. So,
two of them getting 100 points, like.
And Notts County manager Luke Williams, he was Russell Martin's assistant. That's where the styles come from. The tiki taka style, Notts County. If you watch them play, like,
yeah, Langstaff is fucking class as well.
Yeah, you don't want to play against because you'd be running for days, like, it's horrible. But anyways, Wrexham, look, if they kept knocking on the door, I don't know what I'd do, but there's a part of me, obviously, money talks, it's not that about it. I'm not going to sit here and fill your bullshit.
Pretend it's for the love of the game, but it's career. Well, obviously, it is.
It is, but if the money's right, like, you can't help but look and have a think. But there is a part of me, like, thinking, I need to just play. I just want to play as hard as you can. Like, you know, if you offer somebody playing this amount of money, that'll change their life for 3 years, of course, you're not going to be stupid, you know. You've got to take it. But don't get me wrong, like, obviously MK got relegated into League 2, and Wrexham are in League 2 now as well. So, look, I don't know. At the moment, I'm an MK Dons player, but to answer your question, I'd love to play in the Championship at one stage in my career.
Yeah.
And obviously you want to play in the Premier League, but the step up from the Championship to the Premier League is massive.
I can't remember what I was listening to. I listened to fucking, basically, I just say hello, they listen to sports podcast.
Yeah,
Joe was very addicted. Did you listen to Simon Jordan?
No.
He's Talk Sport now. Talk Sport's waffles, but he's just so argumentative. You just fucking listen to it.
Yeah, you get into it.
But I can't remember who was saying it. Someone said, like, it's not even the same sport, Championship and Premier League. It's like it's like Space Jam.
It's mad, honestly. I'm talking like here, like, of playing the Championship and playing the Premier League.
But you played in pre-season against, right, where they haven't been knocking 100%,
that's,
you know,
what I mean.
It's like,
I've played against. Like, this year we played against Watford in the cup, and we beat them 2-0 comfortably. And Darragh Bourne's had a great game. Dawson, he was unbelievable that game. Not comfortably, don't get me wrong, we didn't smash them, but, like, we beat them 2-0, they didn't really have much, but it's one of them games. But then we played Leicester in the next round, and we got hammered 3-0 in their place. And then City played Leicester about a week later, and they hammered them 5-0. So they ain't thinking, like, Jesus Christ, yeah. They got relegated to beat us 3-0. City just won the league and they beat them 5-0. What the fuck
did
they do to us? Like,
yeah.
There is a big jump, and obviously I've seen the first team training at Brighton. I've trained at Brighton's first team when I was there, and I know what the level can be like a bit, but at that, Brighton were like just above relegation when I was there. The top six now, so I can only imagine what the jump must be.
Yeah.
You know? So it's hard to gauge it. And I don't think you'd be able to guide unless you actually get first hand experience of it. So it is tough, but I believe that would be a big, massive, massive jump, I think.
Yeah, hopefully you do get your meal whenever it is, and you get to over with MK Dons in the Championship in a couple of years.
Yeah, please God, lad, that would have been perfect, yeah.
But the most hated club in England.
Yeah, I know. I'll not bring to that, you know.
But just to wrap up there, and thanks for that there. But I do have a few questions before we wrap up. Who was the best player you played alongside? And against.
Alongside and against.
Yeah.
Jeez, alongside. The best player I've played against is an easy one. You know, I played against just pre-season games and things like that, but Son was, like, unbelievable. And he was unbelievable, not because, like, obviously he's rapid, he's quick, but the way his timing and the way he moves his body, like, it was mad. Like, there was so many things where he was just doing where he does it once or twice and you're thinking, Jesus Christ, he's got to keep doing that. And next fight he does something different. And you just don't know where he's got to be. You can't get him. Like, so he's probably, like, the best I've played against, him and Song, like, for Tottenham. Not by far, but in my eyes, I got off the pitch and I was like, Jesus Christ, I'm blown. Like, that was horrible. My head was melted after it. Best player I played with is probably Matt O'Reilly from Celtic.
Celtic, yeah.
Yeah, he fair play to him. He left Fulham, he came to us, he couldn't play for us. 4 months when he came to us, he was training for 4 months. He wanted to leave Fulham because he wasn't playing, and he came to MK to train with Russell Martin. But he wasn't able to play for 4 months because they wouldn't release him on his contract. And in training, he was nothing mad. Like, you're looking at him, just thinking, oh, right, he's not playing. Like, you don't really look at him like that.
Yeah.
What's he going to be like on the pitch? Oh, like, he's good in training, but he never played a game for us. So you're like, oh, yeah, I suppose. And then he fucking played for us. Jesus Christ. Things like he was like a machine. Left foot, right foot. And that's why he got him out to Celtic. He's played in the Burnham. He played in Champions League against Madrid. And just won the treble.
Just won the treble
yesterday. And he's probably
for a big move now.
Yeah, well, I think he deserves it. I think he will be getting one. So,
yeah.
See how it goes.
Said he was the best player you played alongside.
He's probably the best player I played with. Yeah.
And at Bowles?
At Bowles, that'd be dead, so wouldn't it? 100%, that'd have to be dead.
And then, what's your favourite moment as a footballer today?
Well, that's a good question, that. Famous moment as a footballer.
Beating Rovers?
Oh, Jesus, yeah. If you're talking about the League of Ireland, that's probably is it. I have to say, that's probably my best moment. That probably was, because the feeling of it, I was in Tallaght as well, and that was before the derby.
I think we were on a run against them as well that stage, weren't we?
Yeah, well, when I was playing from the 17s to the first, I don't think Robbers beat us. I think there was a lot of draws involved, but I think we beat them more times when I was there. But, that's a good shit. That reminded me of that. Yeah, that's probably my best moment, being Robbers in Tallaght. Is he the big famous goal and
ears
took his top part in his ears and that?
Yeah. Robbers pumped out of the pitch to square up to him, and then I think he walked up and went, right, it's not going to stop me here, like, what that was like.
Yeah, no, that's probably my best, in terms of, like, because it was for Bowers, you know what I mean? Like, don't get me wrong, obviously, I love MK, but Bowers has a special meaning for me. Like, I'm from Cabra, I played for Bowers when I was younger, like, and to play for the first team in Tallaght against the biggest rivals, the biggest game in Ireland, let's be honest.
So,
to beat them, Jesus Christ, yeah, that was amazing. That was. I remember after the game, I was absolutely wrecked after it. And I remember...
Different intensity, isn't it? Compared to the rest of the game.
Yeah, definitely. But I remember even the dressing room after it. I was mad. Like, just the feeling, the relief to beat them. Just to have that over them, that's the biggest part of it. To have that over them and to hear your fans in Tallaght. Yeah, that's definitely that. That would be my best moment, I'd say. On the pitch, 100% best moment. Mm. Obviously, moving to England, things like that, and my family proud of me, definitely. But on the pitch, having that feeling. I think if the season we nearly got promoted, if we had got promoted to the Championship, I think that would have been probably my best moment of my career. But yeah, we were actually speaking about that before the podcast, that game. Definitely, yeah. I think that on the pitch, definitely best moment.
Well, you know, League One's pretty bit off it now. You were in a couple of Irish underage squads, weren't you?
Yeah, I played under 15s, 16s or something. Played under 19s.
Have you ever been any near calls up to Kenny? Or?
No, when he was 21s manager, we had a chat now and again. But just to listen, there's a lot of players ahead of me. Like, you know, there's a lot of players in the Championship, a lot of players in the Premier League playing. Like, you know, and look, it is what it is. I just need to keep my head down.
You'd never rule it out, but...
Never. I'm only 24. You know, like, I'm still... If I rule it out, I might as well just rule everything out, you know?
Yeah, true, isn't it? It's a fucking point, yeah.
I'm not 34. I might look like...
Who are you talking to?
I might feel like it as well. But, look, the Irish team, they're coming up, and look, they have two games coming up, and I don't think I'm anywhere near having any chats or anything like that, and... Don't get me wrong, I've met Kenny in MK Stadium before. He's come out to watch a few games. We had Troy Parrott at the time, and you know, there's been a few games he's come out to watch, and I've been in his view of one or two stages, no doubt about it. But I have to respect that there is a lot of centre backs ahead of me in terms of,
like you said, you're slightly older than the current crop sort of coming through now at the moment.
Yeah,
there is like that. How many of them make it? You don't fucking know either. Like.
You have like Darrell Shea, you know, like Nathan Collins, like you've Scalesy, you know, Liam Scales, and John Egan, like Duffy, you know, there's loads of them there who are like, you can't pick a League One over a Premier League, like, let's be honest, you're not going to, it's like picking, like, the second division Ireland over the...
It's like Cunt Collar by Jack Bourne to be in the squad every week.
Yeah, obviously, look, it is where it is, different position to me, I don't really look at them positions, you know, and obviously, I'm just looking at the centre-back thing, obviously, 100% I want to play for Ireland, there's no doubt about it, who wouldn't, like, so, look, hopefully one day it comes, and I just need to keep going and going, and please God, I've a lot of time left, hopefully I will. Take another 10 years, hopefully.
10 years, so centre half.
Yeah.
Can you slowly hit the CDM when you get older now?
I can't do it now. I don't have the legs for it now. No chance.
So you had your best moment there. Worst moment. You weren't on the pitch with the relegation show, so I'll take that one away from you.
I was on the pitch. I got back.
What did you get back for the last few games?
I had to rush back, yeah. Like I got the last I got the last two, three games. I scored against Barnsley, me home return. That was the 4-1 game, we drew 4-4. And then the Bolton game, I got back to it and played. That's quite fair, yeah. No doubt about it. That's what we watched now. There's putting her up, putting her down. Like, it's the feeling after the dressing room.
What's it like when you walk in? Do I need to even talk around it?
Oh, yeah. Well, nobody talked at the start, but certain people in the club start talking, that's when we all start talking and start saying like this is not good enough and things like that, and that's by far the worst moment. Like, I didn't speak to my missus for 3 days. Like, I was in the house, she was like, what's wrong with you? I was like, nothing, like, just leave me. Just couldn't get my head around it. It was madness.
I said a couple of times on this, we got, remember Balls got beat in the cup final?
Yeah.
So we can go to work for a week.
Yeah.
we called sick for a week, I couldn't get out of bed.
That's what I mean. Look, I've lost playoff games to go to the championship. I've lost by a point to go to the championship like the year before, and you're thinking, "Geez, that could be the worst. That's horrible. That feeling's war. That feeling's horrible.
Yeah,
to be relegated.
Suppose you've let the club down. It's like you miss out promotion. It's like where we gave it
a good season. We had a good season,
but when you get relegated, it's like
it's different. It's different completely. Like your whole, it just feels like your whole world's against you. Just don't want to play football for a bit.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. I didn't watch football for ages.
Yeah, but probably you thinking I have to go back to my mum, my dad now and look them in the eye after.
But to be fair, like, I was dying to get home. I went home by myself. I left my girlfriend in England. I said to her, listen, I got back for the Derry game when the Bulls played. I come back. I said, listen, I just need 4 or 5 days myself, and I come back, and it was just lovely just to. Because my mum, like, they're not going to ask, like, what's how's football? They're going to ask, how are you?
Yeah.
A lot of people ask, how's things? But they're talking about football, they're not talking about you.
Mm.
So like, you kind of learn that, like, your mum, your mates, like, they say, what's the crack? It's like, oh, my head's all over the place. But they don't turn around and say, oh, what's the crack with football? No, like, what's the crack with you? How are you feeling? Where's your head at? Like, that was what I needed that for a day. I think I'm wrong. My missus is unbelievable for me.
Like,
in terms of that, and she knows exactly what I'm feeling. She feels it as well. So, yeah, that was definitely the worst moment, no doubt about it.
Yeah, and said we'll go a couple more questions, and you have to pick a 5-a-side team or players you played with.
Oh, lovely.
Bowles, Brighton, Dons.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, let me see. I'm gonna be a Bowles players in this. Nah, they deserve subs by far, just for what he did for me. He's definitely in goal, no doubt about it. He's unbelievable goalkeeper. Like, don't get me wrong, I've had Rob Sanchez play with me, Premier League keeper. I've had like Jamie Cumming, who plays for Chelsea. I've had Andrew Fisher, who's in the Championship. But subs, just for the experience that he had in me coming through, he's definitely in it. So that's my keeper. What formation have I got? So what have I got, 4 left?
You have to be in it.
I'm in it, am I?
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
We do roll off.
Yeah, I wouldn't get in it. I'd go, put me on the bench. I'll go subs, and then I'll go 2 at the back and.
Fucking defender. Fucking 2 at the back of the 5.
I have to go 1 up top for the podcast. I've got 2-1-1. By far, like, I'll have Detta and Dean Lewington. So Detta, obviously.
Gets another 5 assists.
That's me. There's no doubt. Boy, that exactly.
Townie is there. Is he fucking no odd? Townie's. You ever play Townie's a 5 assist?
No.
I haven't played Detta. We're playing with a few Townies. Yeah. Fucking they.
Kick the
legs off you. And here, a bit of a touch go down under the ground. Five aside, you diving cunt.
That's the other, like, that's obviously, and Dean Lewington, that's his specialty.
Yeah.
The Lewington, we call it, he just dies over. Other managers do be saying, if you give a free kick against him, you get fined £30 or £50 for it, because he keeps getting free kicks when he's in trouble. Dean, air skipper. But them two at the back by far. And then I'll have Matt O'Reilly in the middle on his own. And then up top. Jeez, throwing one up top. Who am I gonna put up top? Five, so how big's the pitch? Depends how big the pitch is. But I'll put Dinny in if the pitch is small.
Pitch is small. Dinny knows how to find the goal.
That's what I'm saying. I'll put Dinny in if the pitch is small. But look, I'll have to put Scott Twine in it. He's got he's just signed for Burnley for $4 million. He got nearly 40 goals and assists for us the year we nearly went up. So it'll have to be, subs, Detta, Dean Lewington, Matt O'Reilly and Scott Twine.
Not a bad 5-a-side team there at all. And then if you had to pick one player dead or alive to go with for Gargoyle, but it can't be Maradona and it can't be Maradona at best.
Jeez, it can't be Maradona at your best.
I know you're a skills half.
Yeah, I am. But I'm trying to think of something to have a laugh. There's no point in sitting and having a bleeding point. He's not saying that. Dead or alive. I need somebody. Need to speak English as well, wouldn't
you? Oh, we'll cut out. There's an interpreter beside you.
What?
There's an interpreter beside you.
Oh, right. Oh, it'd have to be somebody. I'm just mad about football. I just love football. I just keep talking about football every day. I talk about football every day. So I'd probably have to go like Maldini or something like that. Just to see what it was like. So yeah, I'd probably have to go Maldini just to fucking
sell the half-santa.
I'd have to just pick his brain or everything.
Funny enough, I'd actually probably tend to go for a piss up. Obviously, wouldn't be. I always said I'd like to go with Joey Barton for a piss up.
Yeah, well, I'm saying about him. I played against him a few times.
What was that like?
Bristol Rovers. Yeah, you can speak. You can hear from the sidelines. Leave it at that. Fucking hell.
I'd actually like to go for the Irish Liverpool fan, Jamie Carragher. I think his knowledge of the game was fucking deadly.
Yeah, he's not bad, yeah. And I'm a Liverpool, don't get me wrong, I'm a Liverpool fan. And I hate United. There is. But Gary Nabsley, like I said, he's done with them two together, unbelievable.
Yeah.
As pundit, so. No, yeah, probably go Maldini, but that's... I'd say he'd be drinking fucking wine and that one, you know, he'd be sitting there with a Guinness in my hand, making a show
with
me.
With Cap Sav in his hand, fucking.
Yeah, playing nice in Milan and that, he'd be fucking, yeah. Probably got Maldini just to pick his brain, yeah.
Yeah, and then, suppose, you're a Bowes man growing up, you're still watching the soldiers. What does Bowes mean to you these days?
It's a place where I can't really explain the way it feels me, because it gave me a chance. No, really gave me a... It means so much because I've walked past it. Every time I come back, like, I drive past it and I walk past it. And I'm always still looking at the stadium, even though I've played and I've trained and I've been there a lot of times. I'm still looking and think, Jesus Christ, I love a game of football. And, you know, and it kind of takes the troubles away, like in terms of, like we said, we talked about the season I just had, but to come back and see a Bowes game, just forget completely what happened to me, like, and what happened to the league this year in my career. But it's like a home to me, because every time, don't get me wrong, like we spoke about the players that I played with there and they're not there anymore. And most times people come out of the woodwork to ask for tickets for players, and that's probably me sometimes because I'm not always here. So when I want to come back, I want to go and see a game. I don't know how many players there. But even the people behind the scenes running it, anytime I ask for anything or I need anything, the people still text me now.
Mm.
They text me, how's things? Like, done very well, like, all the best this season, all the best, like, oh, the injury and things like that. They still text me now. And we won't speak for months, but they text me that I've been there every day. You know, anytime I need that to go back, or I want to see a game, or I want to get my little cousins to go in, or my mates or something, there's never any problem with them. And it just, that's the club. That is literally the club in a whole. It's like, once you play for Bowes, you'd be welcome back. Like, unless you go somewhere we both know where you can't. But no, that is what it means to me. It's like a second home to me. And, no, my mom, my family love going there, and they love watching me there, and I love bringing them there because my little sister goes there. She loves watching them. So yeah, it's a special place in my heart. Like, and don't get me wrong, I'd love to come back and play for them 100%. But maybe further down the line in my career.
Yeah, obviously you said the bread is good there, but it's obviously not as good as it is in the UK. Can you see yourself back in the league?
Honestly, now, no.
Not now, but down the line.
Down the line, I'd love to. I really would love to. But the way of life in England, and I think my ma's really happy with me. That I'm really happy with the way I've settled down, and like I said, I've bought my house and things like that. And I'm gonna say no. Like, I can't see myself ever playing in the League of Ireland again. I would never.
See yourself living in Ireland again?
No, that's where I've got to get
to. Like, the missus and kids. Well, the kids aren't now, but potentially down the line.
To that age, I'm like, it's got to happen. And it's got to be tough. Like, that'd be tough to do. Like, and that, I'm just being honest, because like, that's the way I am. I'm not going to feed you bullshit. Like, I won't live in Ireland again, and because it's just a until you do it for first-hand experience, it's completely different. And I don't think my mom would want me to live here. I don't think any of my family would know, because they know how good I could be having it in England. And I just think there's more in England for me now. In terms of even after football, I've wanted to become like a coach and things like that. I think there's more routes to go down, and there's obviously more clubs. Like, it's a massive amount. The leagues are massive. Like, and it's not unfortunate. I'm not going to say it's unfortunate. It's just the way my career and my life has gone. At the moment, I'm saying no. But you give me 5-6 years, it could be the opposite. It could be saying I want to go back and live in Ireland. I want to play in Ireland. And
yeah.
Oh, my missus knows the deal. You know, she knows the deal. Like, it's my job is my job, and that's the way it goes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I said, fucking, hopefully you do get your long career. So 10 years time, is it coaching much? You've briefly mentioned it there. Is it something you've thought about? I know you're far too young to be fucking thinking about doing badges and shit like that, but it does come and go fast, as you probably know yourself now.
I'm not naive, you know, I'm not stupid. You know, only injury away, man, let's be honest. The one injury away, man, if not, stop.
Who are you talking to?
But no, seriously, lads are out. One injury, every footballer has one injury away from something happening seriously bad to you. Like, and to have something in your back pocket, I think, would be lovely. And definitely 100% I've thought about it. And don't get me wrong, like, there was a coaching opportunity last year, like, just to start to have badges and things like that in Milton Keynes. And I said no to it because I didn't fancy it, because I want to concentrate on football when I'm playing football. I want to give it a right go. Like, I'm not sidelined by anything. I just want to. This is it. I'm a football player.
Yeah.
I'll do me coaching when I have to do me coaching.
Not to be like Lingard or set up your own fashion brands.
None of that. Like, don't be wrong. I said my missus probably wants to do something like that.
Not selling bullies or anything like that now.
I have two little sausage dogs. That's right. Bullies, you mad? I think before they're on the line, it probably will be something I'd look into. I think I'd be all right. From what I've told from managers and their managers on your list there, I'd be pretty decent at it, and like, because I don't know, it's what they see in me, and you know, I'm pretty vocal on the pitch and in dressing room. So look, like I said, I'm full on tunnel vision for football straight away, like, in terms of playing, but eventually I will get to a stage where I'm gonna have to think, right, what's next.
And
I'm not naive about it. I'm gonna have to look eventually. So
we'll get a head start in it as well.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, but I think I think that's a 24/7 job. You know, you don't get to summer, like...
Manager, it's fucking... There's no time off there.
There's no way. And you're the one who gets the bullet if it doesn't go right, not a player. So you need to enjoy this now. Look, I'm enjoying not having that. Obviously, you have pressure. But to deal with a 25-man squad, Jesus Christ.
Actually, just touching it there, actually, you just popped into my head. What's it like when you're a player and the gaffer's after being sacked?
Like the Manning, obviously Russ left. He had a better opportunity, which is you put your hands up and you shake his hand, you say all the best to you and your family and all the best in your career, and that's different. And obviously Liam Manning, he got sacked. Personally, it depends how well you're growing. You know, some players have got to be like, oh, this is an opportunity, you know, new manager, clean slate. I played every game for Liam Manning, so I'm the opposite. So I'm thinking, oh no, like, if a manager comes in and doesn't like me and things like that. So it's tough. I was in London actually with my missus, just walking around, having a mooch around, shopping and that. And the news came out that he's been sacked, and I said to him, we need to go back. And we got jumped straight back on the train. I had to get my head around it because I was thinking, worst case scenario, the manager comes in, doesn't like me, I'm not playing. Like, and then it's like, really fucking hell. You gain so much credit in a bank, let's say, for a manager. Like, he trusts you. It's all about trust in the game. You know, I played every game for him, Liam Manning, and I felt that trust. He trusted me, and I trusted him, and we were both honest. So I was devastated when it happened. And then when it does happen, you think that bank is gone. Like, you are all on zero now. You know, so everybody was like,
"That's a previous that's a new manager bounce."
This is a new like this, and that's why teams do really well in the first two games when managers come in, because they're like up for us. Like, I need to play every week here. So the first game, I'm going at it.
Yeah.
And then usually the first game they usually win.
Or they get something else.
They get something, they get a draw and they shouldn't have, or they're in rock bottom, they have a bad run, next ball, new manager comes in, they get a draw and they get a win, and you're like, oh, new manager's doing well. It's adrenaline. It's adrenaline from the players, because they want to play every week. It's the new manager, new ideas, it's fresh. That's what happens. And it's like some players who didn't like the previous managers start to kick up a bit, and they're like, oh, I have a chance now.
Yeah.
There's little things like that, but it's a horrible feeling. It depends where you are. It's a sticky situation, like, in terms of which way you are with the manager. I think some players would be like, right, that's good for me. Obviously, you don't wish anybody to lose their job. Let's be honest.
Well, there's content there that for an old career too. Like, players who are out in the squad, if they fall out with the gaffer.
Well, that's for me. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to be honest. If the manager wasn't playing me and he got sacked, I'm not going to be crying about it. Like, if he's not playing, I haven't played in the last year. And he gets sacked, like, you shake his hand and wish him all the best. Like, I'm sorry it didn't work out, you didn't play me, but the next manager come in, you're like, right, it's a clean slate on me. I was just the opposite. Unfortunately, I was the opposite. I was playing a lot. And that it's a sticky situation. I think it all depends, but it can be a horrible feeling or it can be a boost. We're just like, right, the club just can rejuvenate my career here at the club.
Yeah. And thanks for that there, Warren. Bows are playing Cork tomorrow. Well, that's going to be come and gone by the time I get this out. And it'll be Derry away on Friday. You've seen a bit of the game anyway last time.
I've watched a bit of Derry, to be fair. Like I said, one of the lads I used to play with, Ryan Graydon, he scored against the game I went to for a bit. Yeah, so I've watched a little bit, and obviously Brandon Kavanagh is there, played with him. So anytime I just have a spare Friday night, I'm sitting there and balls aren't playing, or whatever day it is, and I know one or two of the lads, I will throw her on. And I've watched a bit of them, they're not a bad side this year. You know, they weren't a bad side last year, and it's a tough place. Did you say Derry away?
Oh, sorry, away, yeah. Fuck. Yeah, Cork away. Cork away on Monday, Derry away on Friday. Cost me a fucking fortune. Yeah,
could all the best with that. I'll be out there by then. I'll be back. Good luck to that. But no, I'll be at Cork away. It's a tough game. I think I played Cork away, actually. I got knocked out in the first fucking 5 minutes. Free kick, it was in the wall. Subs put me in the wall, hit me straight in the face, knocked me out, got stretched off. That's the last one. I was in Turner's Cross.
That's the last thing you remember.
Yeah. I think we won the game as well. Yeah. And then, Derry away would be a tough one, no doubt about, especially this year.
Funny enough, that the record's been fucking shit enough up there. I think Bowles beat Sligo, but it feels like we hadn't won a home game all season. We've actually got the joint best home record.
Yeah.
Derry's home record for Rovers is poor.
That's because, I'm not going to lie, that's because of the fans and the atmosphere down there now. It's even in the League One, you go to some teams where I'm not saying Derry are shy, but obviously we have Sheffield Wednesdays, and even Ayr Stadium is massive, but you're only getting, in Ayr Stadium, you're only getting about 10,000, where it feels like nothing because the stadium is so big. But if you go to a Sheffield Wednesday, they have 30,000. But then if you go to a Cheltenham, like we said, it's tight, you feel a bit horrible, and the fans can literally touch it. It's a bit like Derry, you know? But it gets a thrill when teams come. If I was playing a Derry right now, I'd be like, Jesus Christ, I hope that ball didn't go over a throw in over there, because I'm not getting it. Because the fans are on your back, and then something goes the wrong way, the ref gives the wrong decision against balls. Yous are up on your feet, yous are giving out.
You're being there.
I'm giving out as well, exactly. And it's fucking hell. Sometimes you're looking at the ref thinking, you bastard, you're either getting them up on the fucking, off the tours now. This is horrible.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. The atmosphere this year, from even what I've watched on telly, and obviously I've been there a couple of weeks ago, it's just completely, it's really, really ramped up.
Yeah.
And it's fucking lovely to see, I'm not going to lie. And that's probably...
Did you watch that Pats game? 3-1, where Bowles are down 10 men, or 3-2. Bowles are down to 10 men, Flores got sent off. And we're 1-0 up, fucking 10 minutes of madness. We're all over, 10 minutes of madness, Pats went 3-1 up out of nowhere. But fucking, then we went down to 10 men, and we're 3-1 down at half time, down 10 minutes, this game over. Oh, second half started, Pats just sat back, we got a goal back. But you could just see, because the ref had sent something, that crowd was just fucking...
Yeah, tough, yeah.
It's it was not as loud as here, Damon, but it was you could just sense, Pats were just waiting for it to crumble. Goal never came in the end, but you could just say, the relief they just got out getting out of there, having played against 10 men for 60 minutes, 2 goals up.
But you're saying that, you're sitting in the stands feeling that. Imagine being on the pitch. As a Bowls player, you're come on then, we'll have a go. We've nothing to lose. The fans are behind us. If you have a go, the fans will stick it, especially Bowls fans. You're having a right go, you'll be behind. I'm a fan. I'll be behind the team 100%. We have a go. I'd rather, as a player, that's in every club I'll play for, I'd rather my team have a go and lose fucking 4-0 than not have a go, sit back and lose 1-0 or something like that. I'd rather just go all guns blazing. And sometimes with 10 men, that's probably what happened. Bowles said, fuck, you might as well lose 3-0 than lose 2-0. Might as well try and have a go.
A bit of pop, yeah. I think that's the difference between this year and last year. Last year was a fucking damn squid.
Yeah, exactly. I can see that in watching, even the press and things like that. You just needed that freshen up, which you did get. No disrespect to Longers, he's done a great job, and I'll always have respect for him and Trevor. But to have a new face in there, and the way I've never met Declan, but the animation he is on the sideline, you can see it, he has that energy, and
presence about him,
and the fans are bouncing off it, and then it's just coming onto the players, and they're running around, they're pressing nice and high, like we spoke at the start, and it's just walking, and it's just the thing in my eyes, and just thinking is, how long is that going to last in terms of the season?
Yeah,
our players got to get tired. Is the squad big enough to keep rotating now, which he needs to do it.
Good depth of midfield, defence were shy, think we just need to, like, what were 4 points off the top as a stance. I said, hopefully by the time they measure out, we're top of the league. But they're going into the July window. You know, players are freeing up in England to come home. There's options there.
Yeah, it's tough, isn't it? Yeah.
Rovers, the thing is that Rovers going to Europe.
Yeah.
That's the fucking, see, if they could get to the Europa Conference League, which what they're trying to do, both of them for free hit, they know Europe this year, they're going to be busy, but they'll only have 2 or 4 games.
Yeah.
You fucking just don't know if they did the recruitment's right.
Yeah, that's it. That's the only thing that people have asked me, do you think Bolton are doing? I'm like, they can do it, no doubt about it, because of the intensity they play at. Like, it reminds me of Liverpool when they were flying. Obviously, it's nothing to that standard, but when you're looking at Liverpool pressing high bank, like not giving teams a second, and that's why Bolton are top of the league for the first, they started the first 5 games, unbelievable. Like, because the press and everyone's just like blown away by how fit they were. But how long does it last? How big is the squad? How good can they rotate? That's the only thing I'll be thinking of. Obviously, like, I think Declan has it down to a T, like the gaffer like that. And fair play to them. I wish I'd be cheering them, no doubt about it. It's been a great start, and look, there's a long season to go.
We're halfway through it now.
It's the business end of the season. Last 8 games, you'd be thinking, right, now it'll really show how good this season can be, and let's see how it goes.
Absolutely, and quick prediction for Friday. Up on the brand new way.
I got Bowles 1-0.
I think Bowles 1-0 as well.
Yeah, I think that'll be a fair result. Bowles torn up 100%. 100%, it'll be a good game either way. Dirty'll be good, especially at home. But I'd go for Bowles 1-0, yes. 1-0, get out of there, get back on the bus and leave before everybody says that.
1,000 miles next week up in fucking Dale.
Out
of the country, but you're doing it every Saturday and Tuesday.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, you're not wrong. Especially this year in League 2, most of the teams are up north, and it's got to be some trek.
Not a nice trip.
No, the Newcastle. Accrington, Markham, Carlisle.
Carlisle's right up. Just Carlisle's beating the board, I believe.
Carlisle went up actually, League 1, sorry. Went up to League 1 as well. Yeah, there's a few of them up there, but look, there is.
Yeah, so Warren, thanks very much for giving your time.
Thanks very much for having me. It's been a long time coming.
It's been on you for about fucking 2.5 years.
It's been
a
Brighton, you're
That wasn't even a podcast.
5 years ago.
As we do every week, we finish up. Come on the fucking balls.
Come on the fucking balls.
Cause we all follow balls wherever they play. We don't care if it's home or away. We are the boys and we're proud of our name. So we'll all bounce around and we sing it again.